Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 7th verse. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, but someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who insults himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Where did you sit in your high school cafeteria? Did you possess enough social capital to sit with whomever you wanted? What would have happened had the prom king or queen invited one of the social outcasts to sit with them? Many a teen movie has been built on the hope that some heroic figure would come and overturn the high school's social order and right the wrongs of the it crowd. But what if that king or queen kept befriending those social outcasts? Imagine if they dared to criticize the hypocrisy of the cool kids. Then we all know how that story would end. For the in crowd would eventually find something in that prom king or queen in order to discredit them and then banish them as social lepers. The rules of upward social mobility in American high school, not that much different than a first century Jewish banquet. For after attending a Sabbath service, a Pharisee invited Jesus to a meal in order to see if he would break the Sabbath by healing one of the sick. What is more, only Pharisees who could repay the favor of being invited to this meal were invited. There Jesus cringed as he watched all of these social climbers all jockey for the places of honor. We then consider these words, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." An earthly story. Our text states that Jesus told a parable when he noticed how those that were there chose the different places of honor, saying to them, "But when you are invited to a wedding feast, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you." Now, Jesus' purpose here was not to teach or not to give the Pharisees pointers on how to game the system of social advancement. Nor was he merely teaching them good table manners, as important as that is and all, right, ladies? We know this because he tells them that this story is a parable. That is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. For a few verses before our text, a sick man had entered into their midst to illustrate the Pharisees' legalistic additions to the Sabbath and their total disrespect for their common man. Jesus pointed out to them that none of them would refuse to rescue their own son or their own ox if it had fallen into a well on the Sabbath. Since Sabbath was not made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath, Jesus then had compassion on this individual and healed him. However, Jesus was only beginning to turn the tables on these Pharisees. For Jesus used a parable of a wedding banquet to show them that those who were truly exalted are those who would give due deference to even the least of those attendees at this feast. In other words, how we treat our fellow man is a snapshot of our relationship with God. Or as our Lord himself puts it, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these my brethren, you did not do for me. Notice how even the little things like table manners are a microcosm of our relationship with God. For if we can't even treat our brothers and sisters with the dignity and the respect that God asks of us in his commandments, how can we possibly fear, love, and trust in God above all other things? For when our relationship with God is out of whack, we objectify our fellow man and consume them. Remember this, when you choose with whom you are going to share a meal with at the BLC cafeteria or at your own home, take the time there to really engage and listen to your table companions rather than drowning them out with your own comments, your cell phone, or the nightly news. Treat the kitchen staff and your own parents with the gratitude that they rightly deserve for providing us with daily bread. And guard against lashing out at our table companions whenever we think that they have disrespected us. For such loveless ways wouldn't even merit us a place at Thanksgiving kitty table, much less the wedding banquet of heaven. A heavenly meaning. But now we can see that Jesus was not trying to level the social order, for he was not advocating some sort of Christian revolution. Rather, he wanted us to pay due diligence to the underappreciated in this world. For as St. Paul tells us, that it's the underappreciated vocations that are the most important for the mission of the church, how much more so aren't these vocations important for sustaining the world in which we live? For this reason, Jesus took time out of his busy schedule to care for the underappreciated. He did this to undo every time we disrespected another, repairing the chains of vocation through which God sustains the world. Yet instead of making every man a king, Jesus came to make us so much more. He came to make us the sons and daughters of God, heirs of eternal existence. He became poor and lowly to raise us up to his divine glory. He endured the most impoverished existence imaginable so that we might be rich beyond our wildest dreams. For he didn't just experience a poverty that we will never know. For according to his human nature, he emptied himself of the divine powers so that through the shame of dying naked on a Roman cross for the whole world to see, we each might be incorporated into God's holy family. For St. Paul states, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." But isn't Jesus here saying that we earn our place in heaven through our humility? No, for Jesus says, "A diseased tree cannot bear good fruit, and as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." In other words, we are all like dead branches until we are grafted into Christ, the true vine. The fruit that these branches bear are but a byproduct of becoming healthy branches. For fruits don't make dead branches live. Dead branches can't make fruits in the first place. Or as a 17th century theologian Johann Gerhardt once put it, "If God once declared the all creation into being out of nothing, how much more so in our baptisms Doesn't he declare us to be a new creation out of nothing in us? Therefore, those who despair of themselves and rely totally on Christ are gifted a seat at the heavenly banquet. In the Gospels, Jesus conducted a lot of his ministry at tables. But at every table, he soon became the host who served his fellow man without expecting anything in return. Since we cannot offer God anything that he does not already possess, we serve him best when we serve our fellow man. Therefore, we each can afford to be rich with the love that we have in showing it forth to others. Because after all, our works never got us into heaven in the first place. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Amen.